According to multiple studies, women are interrupted more often than men. But the question of whether women who hold high degrees of power still get interrupted more often than men was unclear.
Now a new study may be answering that question. Tanya Jacoby and Dylan Schwiers from Northwestern University just completed a study looking at patterns of interruption among the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court over the past 15 years. They found that female Supreme Court justices are interrupted by their male peers three times as often as male justices interrupt one another during oral arguments.
Tanya Jacoby joins us now with a closer look at that study. She's a professor of law at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law. Tanya, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's go a little deeper than those first numbers. How often are female justices on the Supreme Court interrupted?
So of all interruptions appearing at the Supreme Court, not counting justices interrupting advocates, which is pretty par for the course, female justices make up about a quarter of the court in the period that we're looking at, from about 2004 onwards, primarily, though we do go back in time. And even though they're only less than a quarter of the people on the court, they get interrupted at about 32%, but they're only responsible for about 4% of the interruptions. So women interrupt a lot less, but they get interrupted at disproportional rates.
And who is it who's interrupting them?
It's both the male justices and the male advocates appearing before them. So even though there's a strict rule saying that the advocates should cease speaking the moment that a justice speaks, and so therefore they shouldn't be interrupting the justices at all, advocates account for about 10% of interruptions on the court, and of those, almost all of them are by men. Women account for 0% of interruptions by advocates.
Now, as the number of women on the Supreme Court goes up and gets closer, it's not there, but as it gets closer to gender parity, what is happening with that rate of interruption?
If anything, the rate is increasing. So rather than the men getting used to having women in a traditionally male domain, the interruptions of women are actually increasing slightly. We've seen interruptions overall on the court increase quite dramatically over time, but the gender pattern has been fairly consistent, but if anything, it's getting slightly worse in the last 4 years.
Right. Some of the figures you came up with are pretty striking. In 2015, you found 65.9% of all interruptions on the court were directed at the three female justices. That's
Ruth right.
Bader Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. What do you make of that?
Well, they're only one-third of the justices, so the numbers are pretty clear. I think that what we see is, as you mentioned in the introduction, women are quite used to this. They get interrupted in all sorts of social settings, work settings, whether it's one-on-one conversations or group settings. But we should expect that it shouldn't apply to some of the most powerful women in the world, the Supreme Court justices. But they do, and so there's quite a clear gender pattern. And I think that it both reflects society in terms of women being interrupted generally, but it also means that no matter how powerful a woman becomes, she's still a woman first and is going to get interrupted disproportionately.
Well, and you also looked in particular at Justice Sotomayor, the one woman of color serving on the court. Did you notice anything different with her rate of interruption by other justices and advocates?
We don't have enough sort of racial or ethnic variation on the court to sort of to meaningfully analyze whether that's a factor as well. We certainly do see Justice Sotomayor being interrupted a lot, and anecdotal evidence is that a lot of people talk about Justice Sotomayor as being very talkative, very disruptive, but the numbers don't actually back that up. And I think that perhaps that's driven by a perception, because she's Latina, because she's a woman, we see her behavior that's quite normal, her verbal behavior, it's often interpreted as being pushy or even feisty, which is often a word used to describe Latina women.
And you take a look, you take care at least to point out that you can't ascribe what you're talking about here to Justice Antonin Scalia, who was known for being sort of pugnacious, as you put it, but it's not a Scalia factor here, is it?
No, that's a common view out there that somehow Justice Scalia entered the court and the whole culture of the court changed, but that's actually not supported by the data. What we see is the number of interruptions going up fairly consistently over time. In the time period we look at, we start as far back as 1990, and not only is there not a sudden jump that's associated with Scalia, but Justice Scalia wasn't even the most common interrupter. That title went to Justice Kennedy.
Mm. Well, going back to that power dynamic that you were talking about, and we were wondering if a woman rose to a high rank of power, in this case, a justice on the Supreme Court of the United States, maybe she would not be as interruptible or interrupted as an average woman who's not in that position of power. But then in this case, just gender is still at play. Did that surprise you at all, that there was not a big differential when you got up to the highest court in the land?
It certainly disappointed me. I don't know if it completely surprised me. I mean, it certainly surprised me the rate at which the male advocates interrupted the female justices. Intra-justice interruptions, it's sort of, they're all equal standing, so they all have the same amount of power, but the advocates are formally subordinate to the justices. There are rules about their behavior that the men are consistently breaching. And so that was surprising. And it didn't surprise me when I actually analyzed the data, because I'd listened to so many oral arguments and had just heard these male advocates do this again and again, and really often just talk over the female justices. And these are people they're trying to persuade, people they're trying to win the votes of, and yet they are talking over them, interrupting them, and being quite disrespectful at times.
We're talking with Tanya Jacoby right now from Northwestern University School of Law, joining us to talk about her new study that finds female Supreme Court justices are interrupted more often than male justices on the court. And I want to talk to you about an interesting finding here. You looked at the language that was involved and what it might take to not be as vulnerable to interruptions, and the way male justices and female justices employ language. What did you find there?
So linguistic and psychological studies have previously shown that there's something called a female register, that women have a way of speaking that tends to be more polite and less aggressive, more likely to involve questions and statements, for example. And one thing I'd noticed just anecdotally is that I'd heard women say, may I ask, or can I ask, or excuse me, and other like phrases before asking their question. And it's a very polite way to enter the discussion. And I was curious as to whether women would stop saying that as much over time, because they were quite often interrupted at that point because they hadn't got to the substance of their question. And so we looked at trends of using those phrases and a couple of others and found that they decreased quite considerably over time. Now, what we also found is that women come onto the court using that polite language quite a lot, and then gradually they drop down to the level that most men use when entering the court. So there's a sort of equilibrium point at which the men naturally speak with low levels of polite phrasing, and the women gradually learn to be less polite, I think because they're being interrupted so much early on.
So are you essentially saying the women learn to talk like men?
I'm afraid so, yes. That is what we see is women changing their behavior and men not changing their behavior.
And does it seem to work when a woman does do that and does match the tenor of the communication that is dominant with male justices?
It works to some extent, but not a huge amount. So we looked at one way to test whether it actually results in less interruptions is to look at the effect as women are on the court longer. Are they interrupted less? And we find that there is an effect of seniority. More senior justices do interrupt less senior justices, but it's a very, very minor effect compared to gender and also compared to ideology. And so gender is about 30 times as powerful as seniority. So it's not, it helps to change your language, but it doesn't overcome that gender disparity.
Well, there's another aspect of this that we haven't talked about yet. You also found that conservative justices interrupt liberal justices more often. And how did you get a handle on that one, since Supreme Court justices aren't, you know, affiliated with political parties necessarily?
Well, there's different ways of testing judicial ideology. A traditional way used to be just to look at who the appointees were, like whether that was a Republican or Democrat appointee. But there are now quite sophisticated measures of judicial voting behavior, and it's quite standard to see the court in terms of left-right continuum. And so we can use either measure, and either way we find the same thing. But if we look at a sort of a dichotomous variable of ideology or a continuous variable in the extent to which someone is more liberal than someone else, and using both types of measures, we find the same thing, that liberals are interrupted about 2.5 times as often as conservatives. And that's not only justice-to-justice interruptions, but once again, the advocates play a part. The advocates arguing liberal sides before the court interrupt the liberal justices significantly more often than they interrupt the conservative justices.
Whose job is it to enforce the rule of advocates not interrupting?
Well, it's really the Chief Justice's job, and the Chief Justice does occasionally step in. I mean, first and foremost, it's the advocate's job. They should just follow the rules. But if they're breaking the rules, the Chief Justice is sort of in charge of running the proceedings. And he does step in occasionally, but not nearly as often as he could, given the very large number of interruptions by advocates. Occasionally, I've seen him step in and give the floor to the interrupter when it's a justice rather than to the interruptee.
And Tanya, I want to ask you as we get ready to wrap up, why does this matter? I mean, we know that being interrupted is unpleasant. It can be seen as rude. But does it matter as more than a cosmetic aspect of communication when it comes to the Supreme Court of the United States and oral arguments there?
I think it matters both for the court itself and in terms of a sort of social significance. So in terms of the court, oral arguments are the opportunity for the justices to find out information from the advocates, to ask their questions and receive answers, but they're also an opportunity to influence each other. The Supreme Court justices don't talk among themselves very much before they vote, and so oral arguments are a forum for them to sort of ask questions ostensibly of the advocate, but really they're talking to each other. So if women are constantly being interrupted and not able to ask their questions, they're being kept out of both that informational role and that influential role. And I also think it matters socially. If we see that even when you reach the highest pinnacle of a high-status profession, such as the law, and you're still being interrupted because you're a woman, then that says something about the extent to which our society has progressed as well.
And Tanya, just a couple seconds left, but any early signs about how Neil Gorsuch as a nominee might look on the court in terms of interrupting?
Well, he certainly was an active speaker yesterday, but I went through the transcripts and did not find him interrupting anyone except the advocates. So on one day of data, so far he has followed behavioral norms, but it's early days, and he's a man and he's conservative, so we shall see how he behaves.
Tanya, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Tanya Jacoby is a professor at Northwestern University's Pritzker School of Law. She joined us to talk about her new study that finds female Supreme Court justices are interrupted more often than male justices.